You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio, and we're joined today by blind adventurer Dean Dunbar, who, despite some of the not-so-great weather, has still been out taking on new challenges and doing new adventures. And he'll be telling us about some cycling and water adventures today. Hi, Dean. How are you doing?
Hi, Will. I'm very well, thank you. And yourself?
I'm doing well, thank you. So can you tell us about the latest activity you did? You went out on the water.
Yep, I've been out in the water a couple of times in the last week or two. I had a go at proning across the North Channel from Ireland to Scotland, but unfortunately we didn't pick the best day for it with the biggest tides, which kind of knocked us sideways. And then since then I've had a wee prone boarding race, and then last weekend I was out swimming, doing the Lamb Lash Splash, a wee swim from Holy Isle back to Ireland, just a 2.5k swim.
If we start with the Lamb Lash Splash, can you tell us a bit about how you prepared for that and how you found it?
The Lamb Lash Splash takes place at Lamb Lash, which is a small town on the Isle of Arran. This was actually my 7th year, so I'm kind of getting used to it now. What they do is when you arrive at the beginning of the race is they all pile into a wee few boats that take you over to Holy Isle, which is about 2.2 kilometres away. They drop you off at the pier there, and then it's a 3-2-1, and you've all got to swim and make your way back to Lamb Lash on Arran. So it's a great swim. It's in the sea, so obviously the conditions can vary, and this year ended up being quite a lumpy one. But as for preparations, in the past I've had guide swimmers that have come along with me. My first 2 years I swam with Eddie the Sox, called that because he had bright yellow socks for me to follow so he could guide me. But the last year or so it's been Rona, my wife has been doing it. Unfortunately though, our pace doesn't really match each other. I'm a little bit faster than Rona. So this year we used a device called Marlin. And this is a talking device that gives you, you know, directions like a clock face. It'll tell you either you're bang on course or go to 1 o'clock or 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock, etc. So we used that for the very first time this year. And we used it for a couple of training sessions. It worked very well. And actually used it on the day of the swim, the race. And it worked incredibly well. So that was what I did this year.
Were you a bit nervous to do that for the race? Or did getting the practices in mean that you sort of knew exactly what to expect?
I've used it a couple of times earlier this year and it didn't work very well at all. I used it in a race. When I set off on the race, on the prone boarding race, I knew that the next waymark was at 12 o'clock to me. But unfortunately, the Marlin told me it was at my 7 o'clock over my left shoulder. So that wasn't a great start using that one. So I ended up kind of taking it off and ignoring it for that race. So I was a little bit anxious this time round, thinking, is it going to work? Is it not? Very luckily, when I do the Lamb Lash Splash, the organisers give me my own individual safety kayaker. So it does mean that, you know, if the Marlin hadn't worked, I would just have to swim so many strokes and then shout to the kayaker, which direction now? But fortunately, this year, the Marlin worked absolutely perfectly.
When you do kind of swim races, are you in it to get the best time, or what is kind of your goal normally?
For the Lamb Lash, it's an enjoyable swim. It's great because you're out in the sea and you're just enjoying all this, all the bumps of the waves and that. And this year it was one of the lumpiest I've been in, so it was really good fun. For me, it's all about the sensation that you get through the water, you know, when you're getting picked up by a wave and dropped off the other side and getting hammered to the left and hammered to the right. That's the enjoyment part of it. So for me, I'm not really racing, but at the same time, I do want to do my best. I was quite happy with what I did. I think I came 14th out of 34. And I knocked about 20 minutes off my last year's time, so I was quite happy with that.
And speaking of rocky waves, let's talk about your prone boarding adventure on the North Sea.
So it was the North Channel, which is the Irish Sea, and I had actually attempted it last year. Well, it was glassy calm last year when I tried it, and for some strange reason I got seasickness about 20 kilometres into it. The crossing itself was about 35-ish, but this year it was incredibly lumpy. We were against the tide, which was, you know, was not a good thing. Apparently it was the biggest tide of the year that we were trying to fight against, so pretty much had no chance at all. Unfortunately, I wasn't advised of this beforehand, so it was a case of we went out in the water and everything kind of went very lumpy and very hard work for 3 hours until I decided, yep, that's probably enough because I'm going south instead of northeast. And had to throw in the towel there. So whether there'll be a third goal, I'm not sure. We'll have to wait and see.
Obviously, it was the right choice to get off the board, but at times when maybe you could have kept going and you're feeling like giving up, do you have any tactics to kind of keep going and keep your mood up?
My tactics normally are just counting my strokes. And basically, when I'm counting my strokes, I'll think, just do this 100, and then you can decide then if you're going to give up. And obviously, when you get to that 100, you get 99, 100, you go, just one more 100, and then that'll be it, and then just one more 100. And I basically did that from around about 6 kilometres in. For the next 6K, I was counting my strokes, telling myself, just do another 100, and then you probably have to stop then. But that's what I did for the a total of about 3 hours we were on the water for. Only covered 12K. Normally in that sort of time, I'd be looking to cover closer to 19 or 20K. So that goes to show how slow we were going against the tide. So it was a tough one. But yes, I kind of worked out as I was going along at that pace, I was probably going to be on the water for maybe 15 hours or more. Yet I hoped to actually be on the water for between 6 and 7. So when I did the final maths, I decided actually I'm not going to be able to manage 15 plus hours. It's time just to give it a, call it a day. And that's what I did.
And what do you have coming up for your next adventure or challenge?
So we're looking to next year now. So I'm always very superstitious to talk about future adventures, because I tend to find if I tell people, oh, I'm going to go off and do this, I kind of put the jinx on myself. So I do have things planned for next year, a couple of prone boarding trips planned, and we'll see what else is coming up. But at the moment, it's just a case of taking a couple of weeks off training for the year and then probably get back into it in October and start training for next year from October onwards.
And as it gets colder and maybe the weather is less predictable, how do you keep your fitness up and sort of keep your skills up during the winter months?
So when the winter comes, I tend to go and do other sports more on land. I still do some prone boarding on the water and some swimming, but obviously as the water's getting colder, that gets the sessions get a lot shorter. Over the winter, we do a lot of biking, either on the tandem road bike or, more enjoyably for me, I like doing the mountain biking. So over the last couple of years, we've been taking on the Great North Trail, which is a mountain bike route of about 120-odd miles, I think it is, starting down in the Peak District and finishing in the north of Scotland. Rona and I, every so often, we'll go off and take a little chunk out of that, do 10 miles here, 20 miles there, whatever. And we really enjoy that. However, because we only have the one driver, my wife Rona, what tends to happen is if we're doing, say, a 10-mile stretch, it has to be 20 miles because we cycle from our section to the 10-mile and then have to turn around and come back again. So by the time we've actually finished doing this 800-and-odd-mile Great North Trail, we'll have actually done more like 1,600 miles. But that's one of the things that we do over the winter. We both really enjoy that, getting out into the hills, especially in Scotland, where you can go out and pedal for 2 or 3 hours and not see another person, just have the whole hillside to yourself. So that's what we'll be doing this winter, I think.
Well, that sounds absolutely wonderful. And where can people keep updated with what you're doing and hear closer to the time without any jinxing about those upcoming adventures?
So I tend to post a lot of things on my own blog, which is extremedreams.co.uk, or you can find me on Facebook at Dean Dunbar, Blind and Dangerous. So things tend to be posted on either of those two.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Dean Dunbar, for talking to us on RNIB Connect Radio, and the best of luck with your next challenge.
Thank you very much, Amelia. It's been a pleasure. Cheers. Bye-bye.